Hours away from a huge strike, potentially, UAW and the big three automakers out of Michigan. And the UAW and these car companies have a very interesting relationship over the decades. For a long time, UAW workers benefited from the companies doing very well. Chrysler, Stellantis, of course, Ford and General Motors. They did well, and most of the workers there earned middle-class earnings, enough for a house, support a family on it. When the car companies ran into big problems around the late 2000s, when they went from making billions to losing billions, the relationship changed, and the contracts negotiated, the union had to give up a lot. It seems like now that those three companies are doing well again, they're trying, the union is, to claw back some of those things they gave up. Tom Appel, I tried to explain it in 30 seconds. Did I do okay, their past relationship?
I think you're exactly right. Yeah, in 2007 and 2011, the UAW and the auto workers made big concessions because the automakers were in big trouble. And we remember that what was then Chrysler was forced into the hands of a relationship of Fiat. General Motors went bankrupt, and Ford very nearly went bankrupt itself, but raised the capital to keep going. But at those times, the UAW made big concessions, and the growth in wages and the growth in earnings of the average auto worker didn't grow, right? It was largely stagnant for a while. Now, the last couple of years, record profits, some of this based on the insanity of the supply chain issue, where somehow selling fewer cars made makers more money, the UAW wants a little bit of that money now.
Right. It's more than just the money, although they do want a substantive raise. I know initially they were asking for, quite cleverly, I'll say, the same raise that the CEOs have gotten over the past years, percentage-wise. I think there's some, you know, back and forth going on now about the raise, but it's more than the money.
It is, yeah. And one of the things that the UAW is asking for, and it's not going to happen, is a 32-hour work week. That might have been a bargaining chip just to put on the table to brush aside. And there are similar situations in Europe. I know that in Germany, workers work, I think, 34 or 35 hours a week. So it's not unheard of, but it's unheard of in the U.S. That's not going to happen, and I don't know if the UAW expects that to happen.
I know health care was something that UAW workers got paid for by the companies after they retired. That was before the big shakeups that you talked about in 2007, 2011. They want that back, too, I think.
Yeah, they want retiree health care benefits back, and they also want a defined pension back. Right now, I think they're asking people to basically do what a lot of other people do and rely on a 401k and contribute themselves. But they want a pension, an old-school pension back, and I don't know how much that's being discussed right now. It seems like the back and forth that we're hearing about is primarily about wages. But these other things, we'll have to wait and see where they're at with those.
Some people might say, okay, yes, the companies are making more money now, but if you all of a sudden increase those costs of labor exponentially through raises and paying for their health care, this could potentially bring those companies back down to where they were 10 or 15 years ago. Do you buy that argument? Is there some truth in that?
There is, yeah. I mean, the labor is expensive, and that's true no matter where you make a car, but it's especially expensive in the U.S. But the other issue, too, facing the automakers, and this is all automakers, not just the Detroit 3, is that we're rolling into the electrification of the fleet. And as Ford has actually rearranged and redefined how it reports its earnings, Ford is losing a lot of money on electric vehicles right now, and they expect to for several years. And that's a cost, that's a loss that has to be factored into this. They can't give too much to the UAW right now because they're expecting higher costs moving forward.
What does a strike look like if it starts at midnight tonight?
I don't know. We have a news conference coming, I think, at 11 o'clock, or 10 o'clock Chicago time, 11 o'clock Detroit time, where Sean Fain is going to outline what a strike would look like if it happens. And what's interesting about the strike is that they're talking about striking every manufacturer. Usually there's a selected manufacturer that they negotiate with primarily, and that's the one that they strike against. And last time they struck against General Motors. This time they were talking about Ford. Then they were talking about Jeep owner Stellantis. And we'll see. But they're talking about striking against all of the big three, or the Detroit three, I should say, unilaterally, which is interesting and I think unprecedented.
What's your sense on how long this could last?
This may not last very long. The strike fund is very healthy. It's robust. It could go for a long time. But the strike fund doesn't pay the individual employees very much money. Additionally, the big three really can't afford to be out of business for very long. You know, supplies, we talked about this before, the supply of vehicles on the ground was just getting back to normal. And this would just move a lot of customers. The Detroit 3 is responsible for about half of all the vehicles built and sold in the U.S. So consumer outcry would be huge, too, because this will have an immediate impact on car prices, at least average transaction prices.
Packed a lot in 5.5 minutes. Tom Appel, nice work. Consumer Guide Automotive, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure was mine. Thanks, John.